Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Pesachim, Daf Ein Ches, the seventh parak, Ketzet Zoin. I do want to mention that this is the 400th blot in Shas, the beginning of this Machzor. Mazel Tov to everybody who began Daf Yomi at the beginning of the cycle, and those who began Zichu with Brachos. Now a 400 blot down in Simani, 1,200 topics organized in our mind, blot after blot. Mazel Tov, we should continue to all grow, Machal Ochal. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah that allows bringing karbanos in a state of tumah does not go according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds ein hatzitz meratzeh al chilos, that tzitz is not meratzeh for that which is eaten. Since the power that tzitz does not permit one to actually eat the tameh offering, but rather only renders the avod acceptable in spite of the tumah, it must mean that he holds like Rabbi Yeshua that if the meat is invalid, the blood may not be thrown. The Gemara goes through a lengthy attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yossi with the Mishnah and suggests that Rabbi Yossi holds tumah hutra b'tzibur, and therefore the power that tzitz is not needed to permit communal offerings to be brought in a state of tumah. This explanation is rejected based on a brisa that states regarding the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur or to burn the paraduma. Mazinov koshivma kochatosha yusham divrei Meir. Rabbi Meir says he would be sprinkled all 7 days of his preparation, and Rabbi Yossi says they would only sprinkle him on the 3rd and 7th day. Now, if Rabbi Yossi holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, why is Hazan needed at all? The Avodah of Yom Kippur is communal, and therefore there should be no concern of Tumah. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah does not go according to Rabbi Yossi. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Nitma bas v'chel av kayim, eino zorek as adam. If the meat of an individual's Pesach became Tameh, and the chel av remains Tahor, one does not do zrik as adam. Rashi explains that this is true even according to Rabbi Lezer, ruled that typically blood can be thrown even if no other part of the carbon is valid. Since the primary purpose of the Pesach is that it be eaten, it has no purpose if the meat is unfit and therefore may not be done. Nitma chela v'abasakayim, if the chela became tameh and the meat remains tahor, one does throw the blood. The Mishnah continues, u'b'mukdashim eino ken, ela afu pishen nitma habasar, v'chela v'kayim zorek hazadam. But regarding other karbanos, it's not so. Rather, even if the meat became tameh and the chela remains tahor, one does zorek hazadam. Rashi explains that even Rabbi Yeshua agrees, since the Zerika permits the consumption of the chelev on the Mizbeach. And point number three, Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav that in the case where the Pesach meat became Tameh, im zarek hurtza, if one threw the blood on the Mizbeach, the offering has gained acceptance and the owners are exempt from a Pesach sheni. The Gemara asks regarding the requirement to eat the Pesach and answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Nassan, who says, achilu ma'akva, eating is not essential to attain acceptance. The Gemara seeks to source Rabbi Nassan's opinion. After rejecting the first source, the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches, Nimnu lav chabura achas, v'chaz v'nimnu lav chabura acheres. If one group registered for the Pesach, and the group had so many members that there was only a kazais for each, and then a second group registered, even though there would be nothing for them to eat, the Tanakhama holds the latter group must bring a Pesach sheni. Rabbi Nazan holds both groups are exempt, shekvar nizrok adam, since the blood has already been thrown with them and registered upon it. We see from here that Rabbi Nazan holds it's not essential that the meat of the Pesach be available for eating in order to fulfill one's chiyuv. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah that allows bringing karbanos in a state of tumah does not go according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds ein hatzitz meratzeh al chilos, that tzitz is not meratzeh for that which is eaten. Since the power of the tzitz does not permit one to actually eat the tameh offering, but rather only renders the avoda acceptable in spite of the tumah, it must mean that he holds like Rabbi Yeshua that if the meat is invalid, the blood may not be thrown. The Gemara goes through a lengthy attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yossi with the Mishnah and suggests that Rabbi Yossi holds tumah hutra b'tzibur, and therefore the power that tzitz is not needed to permit communal offerings to be brought in the state of tumah. So this explanation is rejected based on a brisa that states regarding the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur or to burn the paraduma. Mazinu lav koshiv mekochato sheayusham divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says he would be sprinkled all 7 days of his preparation, and Rabbi Yossi says they would only sprinkle him on the 3rd and 7th day. Now, if Rabbi Yossi holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, why is Hazan needed at all? The Avodah of Yom Kippur is communal, and therefore there should be no concern of Tumah. The Gemara concludes that the Mishnah does not go according to Rabbi Yossi. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Nitma bas v'chel of kayim eino zorek as adam. If the meat of an individual's Pesach became Tameh, and the chel remains Tahor, one does not do Zrika Sadam. Rashi explains that this is true even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who ruled that typically blood can be thrown even if no other part of the carbon is valid. Since the primary purpose of the Pesach is that it be eaten, it has no purpose if the meat is unfit and therefore may not be done. Nitma chela b'basukayim, if the chela became tameh and the meat remains tahor, one does throw the blood. And the Mishnah continues, "Ubimukdashim eino ken." But regarding other korbanos, it's not so. Rather, even if the meat became tame and the chel remains tahor, one does zrikas adam. Rashi explains that even Rabbi Yeshua agrees, since the zrika permits the consumption of the chel on the mizbeach. In point number three, Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav that in the case where the pesach meat became tame, im zarek hurza, if one threw the blood on the mizbeach, the offering has gained acceptance and the owners are exempt from a pesach sheni. The Gemara asks regarding the requirement to eat the Pesach, and answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Nassim, who says, Achilu l'ma'akva, eating is not essential to attaining acceptance. The Gemara seeks a source for Rabbi Nassim's opinion, and after rejecting the first source, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches, Nimnu alav chabura achas, v'chazve nimnu alav chabura acheras. If one group registered for the Pesach, and the group had so many members, there was only a kazayas for each, and then a second group registered, even though there would be nothing for them to eat, the Tanakhama holds, the latter group must bring a Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Nassim holds both groups are exempt, Shekvar Nizra Kadam, since the blood has already been thrown with them, registered upon it. We see from here that Rabbi Nassim holds that it is not essential that the meat of the Pesach be available for eating in order to fulfill one's chiyum. All right, so now we go to our Siman for Daf Ayin Ches, and this Siman comes to us by way of Jeremy Shaiwitz and Yeshua Eisenberg, who both suggested that Ayin Ches is a child going ugh, a child going ugh. So here goes. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh, when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tameh, making it Pasul, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. Once again in slow motion. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went, ugh. A child going, ugh, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Ches. The kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends, which reminds us, the Gemara goes through a lengthy attempt to reconcile Rabbi Yossi, who holds Ein Atzitz Maratza Al-Chilos, with the Mishnah, and suggests that Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, and therefore the power of the Tzitz is not needed to permit communal offerings to be brought in his day of Tuma. This explanation is rejected based on a braisa that states regarding the Kohen Gadol preparing for Yom Kippur or to burn the Paraduma, Mazin Olav Kol Shiva Mikol Chatosha Yusham Divrei Rimer. Rimer says he would be sprinkled all 7 days of his preparation, and Rabbi Yossi says they would only sprinkle him on the third and seventh day. Now, if Rabbi Yossi holds Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, why is Hazan Nida at all? The Avodah of Yom Kippur is communal, and therefore there should be no concern of Tuma. The Gemara concludes the Mishnah does not go, according to Rabbi Yossi. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of its pretend Pesach was Tameh, making it Pasul. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nitma Basar V'chel V'kayim Eino Zorikas Adam. If the meat of an individual's Pesach became Tameh, and the chel remains tahor, one does not do Zorikas Adam. Rashi explains that this is true even according to Rabbi Elazar, who ruled that typically blood can be thrown even if no other part of the carbon is valid. Since the primary purpose of the Pesach is that it be eaten, it has no purpose if the meat is unfit, and therefore it may not be done. So the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tameh, making a puzzle, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. Which reminds us, the Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav that in a case where the Pesach meat became Tameh, im zarek hurza, if one threw the blood on the Mizbeach, the offering has gained acceptance and the owners are exempt from a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara asks regarding the requirement to eat the Pesach and answers that Rav holds like Rabbi Nassim, who says that achilu l'ma'akva, eating is not essential to attaining acceptance. The Gemara seeks the source of Rabbi Nassim's opinion, and after rejecting the first source, the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches that if one group registered for the Pesach and the group had so many members that there was only kazayas for each and then a second group registered, even though there would be nothing for them to eat, the Tanakhama holds the latter group must bring a Pesach Sheni, whereas Rabbi Nassim holds that both groups are exempt, shekvar nizra kadam, since the blood has already been thrown with him, registered upon it. We see from here that Rabbi Nassim holds it's not essential that the meat of the Pesach be available for eating in order to fulfill one's chiyuv. So once again, the kid playing Kohen Gadol and getting sprinkled with water by his friends went ugh when he was told the meat of his pretend Pesach was Tameh, making a puzzle, while two groups of kids were fighting in the background because they were both registered on the same little lamb. All right, now it's time for a four-blot-back chazara. Daf Ein Dalet. So the Simra Ein Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must mean we're on Daf Ein Dalet. The witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Mekuas helmet, which reminds us, there's a malchus regarding the method of roasting the Pesach. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, we bring a spit of pomegranate wood and thrust it into the mouth of the carcass until it passes through its bottom, and one places its severed legs and its entrails inside it. Rashi explains that this is done to comply with the pasuk Sli Eish Rosha Al Krov Val Kirbo. Fire roasted its head with its legs and its entrails, which implies that these parts are to be roasted together with the body. Rabbi Kiva says, Kibim Bishu is said, this is considered a form of cooking, elatoin chutzala. Rather, we hang the legs and entrails from the outside of the carcass. And Rabbi Shmuel would call the roasted Pesach tuch tuch because he held that Rabbi Yossi agreed that the entrails were roasted inside the body cavity and they would make the sound of tuch tuch, like food boiled in a covered pot. Rabbi Tarfon called the carbon Pesach gidi makulas, a helmeted kid. He held like Rabbi Kiva that the legs and entrails were placed on the spit above the head of the animal, resembling a helmet on the head of a warrior. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large gidi makulas helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, which reminds the Mishnah said that a pomegranate spit was used. The Gemara explains the reason a metal spit is not used, since a part of the spit becomes hot through exposure to the fire, all of it, including that which is covered by the carcass, will become hot, and the carcass will be partly roasted on account of the heat of the spit rather than the fire itself. And the Torah states, Tzli Eish, v'lo Tzli Machmas Davar Acher. The Pesach must be roasted by fire and not roasted on account of something else. The Gemara goes on to explain that the reason why the spit cannot be brought from other woods, such as palm wood, fig wood, oak, carob, or sycamore, is that they secrete liquid, and it's as though the Pesach is cooked. So the witness saw the bandit wearing a large Gidi Makulas helmet and wielding a pomegranate spit, threatening the person sitting peacefully roasting his meat on coals. Which reminds, the Gemara teaches that whenever Rav Acher and Ravina disagreed, Rav Acher was the one with the more machmir opinion, and Ravina was the one with the more makel view, and the halacha always follows Ravina, lilkula, except for three disputes, where Rav Acher is more lenient and the halacha follows his opinion. The first dispute was regarding umsa da'asmik, a piece of meat that turned red on account of blood oozing from a vein. Now, if one cut it and salted it, it's permitted even for cooking in a pot. The cutting helps the collected blood escape more readily. If one roasted it on a spit, it's permitted for consumption because the blood flows out during the roasting. But if one places it on coals for roasting, one of them forbids it because the heat of the coals makes it shrivel, causing it to retain the collected blood. The other permits it because the heat draws out the blood. And the halacha is that the heat draws out the blood. Daf Ayin Hey. So the Simran Ayin Hey is an Am Ha'aretz. So here goes. The Am Ha'aretz. Am Ha'aretz. That must be one Daf Ayin Hey. The Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice, if one cut the Pesach and placed it over coals, Rebbe said he considered it fire roasted. Rashi explains that he didn't cut the carcass apart, but rather he sliced it in several places so that it would roast quickly. Rav Chisa was asked if, in fact, Rebbe says coals are considered like fire, since the Torah stated, by Metzorah, the word mikveh, burn, twice, it teaches us that saras on a burn also applies to a burn from a coal. So if the Torah had not included it based on the repetition, then one would not consider coal equivalent to fire roasted. So how could Rebbe consider a Pesach roasted on coals fire roasted without a special pasuk including in the Pesach? Rav Chisa replied that concerning a coal from wood, no pasuk is necessary. The pasuk was only needed to include a gachel shel mesechas, coal produced from metal. So the Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead, which reminds us. The Gemara brings the Gezer Shava, Sreifa Sreifa Bnei Aaron, burning, burning from the burning of Bnei Aaron, to teach how someone condemned to burning is burnt, just as the burning refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. So too here, it refers to the burning of the soul with the body remaining intact. The Gemara asks why one needs to be burned with molten lead when immersing the person in boiling water would suffice, and answers that it's because of Rav Nachum's teaching, Amar Kra, Bahafta Recha Kamocha, the Torah teaches you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Barulo Misa Yafa, choose from a favorable death, death by means of molten lead is less painful. So the Am Ha'aretz, who was struggling to learn how to distinguish wood coals from metal coals, was so engrossed that he didn't even notice when the executioner tripped and spilt a whole cup of molten lead in front of the Kohen Gadol, who was carrying a shovel full of hot coals. Which reminds us, Rava asked if Rebbe actually said coals are classified as fire, based on a conflicting brisa regarding the shovel full of fiery coals that the Kohen Gadol takes in the Kodesh Kodashim, that seems to indicate flickering coals are not considered fire. So Rava resolves the contradiction by reinterpreting the brisa. If the Torah had only stated gachalei, it might be thought he should bring smoldering coals, not flickering ones. Therefore, it states eish. If it only stated eish, it might be thought he may take a burning piece of wood that is half coal and half flame, so that by the time he enters the Kodesh Kodashim, it should be entirely coal. Therefore, the Torah states, and he shall take a shovel full of fiery coals from atop the Mizbech. This teaches that from the time of taking from atop the Mizbeach, they should be coals. According to this interpretation, the Brice agrees with Rebbe that a flickering coal is classified as fire. Daf Ayin Vav. So the Simra Ayin Vav is IV, intravenous. So here goes. The patient who is treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables and wanted the fatty kosher meat roasted next to the lean nevela instead. Once again, in slow motion. The patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag. IV bag? That must mean we're on Duff Ein Vav. The patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, which reminds us, if something hot fell into something cold or something cold fell into something hot, where the absorption would make it forbidden, such as meat with milk or iser v'heter. There's malchokas. Rav says, ilagavar, the upper one dominates, which Rashi explains means that if something hot falls into something cold, the upper one heats up the lower one before the lower one can cool it. Since they are then both heated, they absorb from each other. On the other hand, if something cold fell into something hot, the falling one cools off the lower one before the lower one can heat the falling one. Shmuel says, tatalgavar, the lower one dominates. So the patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, sonu et sonen medich. If something cold is placed into something cold, one merely rinses it. And Rav Huna said that he taught this only concerning a case where one had not salted the forbidden item. But if one had salted it, the other one is forbidden. For Shmuel said, maliach hayukaraseach. That which is salted is like that which is hot, which means that salted food has the same capacity as hot food to transfer its juices. However, it doesn't absorb juices like hot food. Therefore, if the permitted component was salted, it would not absorb the prohibited juices. Shmuel also states, kavush harukamavushal, that which was marinated is like that which is cooked. So the patient was treated with pieces of piping hot meat that dripped into an IV bag of cold milk, told the nurse he couldn't eat the salted ham mixed with cold vegetables, and wanted the fatty kosher meat roasted next to the lean nevela instead. Which reminds, Rav said, basar shchut shaman shetzal im basar nevela kachush aser. If fatty meat of a shechted animal was roasted in an oven, together with lean meat of a nevela, it is forbidden. They are fattened by each other. Rashi explains that the two meats do not touch, yet the kosher meat absorbs the aroma of the nevela. Now, even though the lean nevela doesn't give off a strong aroma, it absorbs the aroma of the fatty kosher meat, is subsequently fattened, and then emits aroma which is absorbed by the kosher meat. Levi said that even if lean meat of a shechted animal was roasted together with the fatty meat of a nevela, it's permitted because recha ba'amahu v'reach lav milsa. This is a case involving the transfer of aroma, and aroma is not a factor. Daf Ein Zayin. So the simmer Daf Ein Zayin is a goat, an aze. So here goes. The long line of various goat offerings that were docha tumah were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tumah was duchuya b'tzibur, and who was checking to make sure that neither the blood nor the basar were disqualified. Once again, in slow motion. The long line of various goat offerings. Goat? That must be worn daf ein zayin. The long line of various goat offerings that were docha tumah, which reminds us that the Gemara explains why the word mo'odo was brought so many times to teach that the tami, pesach, musafim, omer, shtei lechem are docha tumah and Shabbos. So the long line of various goat offerings that were docha tumah were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tumah is duchuya b'tzibur. Which reminds us, the Gemara mentions regarding the Amoraim in the Yeshiva that they presume the l'chuli alma tumah duchuya b'tzibur, that all are in agreement that tumah is overridden rather than permitted in regard to the community ubay tzitz or ratzos, and therefore the tzitz is needed to affect acceptance for the karbanos brought in a state of tumah. Rashi explains that even though the Torah permits the karbanos to be brought in a state of tumah, it's not a heta gamur, and therefore it's only permitted if Tahor Kohanim could not be found, and it also still requires the tzitz to affect acceptance. So the long line of various goat offerings that were docha tumah were paraded in front of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, since the tumah is duchuya b'tzibur, and who was checking to make sure that neither the blood nor the basar were disqualified. Which reminds us, the Amoraim and the Yeshiva also presume that all agree that ein hatzitz meratza al achilos, that tzitz is not meratza on the part of the offering that is eaten, and suggest therefore then the Mishnah is not in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, for it was taught in the Braisa, the Pasuk states, Vasisa olasecha habasar bahadam. You shall make your ola offerings, the meat and the blood. Rabbi Yeshua says, im ein dam, ein basar, im ein basar, ein dam. If there's no blood, because it's been disqualified from being thrown on the Mizbeach, its meat may not be burnt on the Mizbeach, and vice versa. The Gemara explains that since Rabbi Yeshua says that we need the blood and the flesh to be valid in order for the blood to be thrown, and it was stated that it is presumed that when the tumor exists, the tzitz is not meratz on the part which is eaten, making it invalid, how can any offering be brought in a state of tumah? The Gemara concludes Rabbi Yeshua was referring to a karban yachid, whereas the Mishnah was referring to karbanos of the tzibor, where the tumah is hutra b'tzibor, retracting the original presumption of the Amoraim. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos Nerev. Number 1. Which daf do we have malchus Rav Akum Ravina, whether roasting over coals shrivels the meat, thereby trapping the blood, or if it helps draw out the blood? That's on daf Ein Dalad. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that carrying out Sreifa with molten lead is considered a Misa Yafa because it's less painful? That's on daf Ein Hey. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that with Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur, the tzitz is still required to be Maratza? That's on daf Ein Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we see from the fact that Rabbi Yossi requires the Kohen Gadol to have Hazo on the 3rd and 7th days, he does not hold Tumah Hutra B'tzibur? That's on daf Ein Ches. Good number five. Wish that they learned why the word Moedo was mentioned specifically with the Tami Pesach Musafim, Omer, and Shtei Lechem. That's on Daf. Ein Zayin. Good. Number six. Wish that they learned that the Kohen Gadol must take a shovelful of coals off the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur, not burning wood that is half coal and half flame. That's on Daf. Ein Hey. Good. Number seven. Wish that they learned Rabbi Shuvo holds Im Ein Dam, Ein Basar, V'im Ein Basar, Ein Dam. That's on Daf. Ein Zayin. Good. Number eight. Wish that they learned why Shabbat Shalrim was used and not a metal spit. That's on Daf. Ein Dalet. Good. Number nine. Which stuff do we have with Rav and Levi, whether the transfer of reuch, aroma, is a factor or not, such as in the case of fatty kosher meat roasted near lean nevela meat? That's on Daf. Ein Vav. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we learn if the meat of the Pesach becomes tame and the chelav remains tower, one does not do zrikas adam because the eating is the ikker? That's on Daf. Ein Ches. Great. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu's defense of Bnei Yisrael regarding the chet ha'egel? That's on Daf. Lama Basin Brachos. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you want about Chava's 10 curses? That's on Daf. Kufin Erevim. Good. And number three. Which stuff do you want about Tinuk Shenishba and Gerim regarding Chilul Shabbos? That's on Daf. Samachesin Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.